Our next presenter is Dr. Fernando de Mayo. He has a PhD in sociology from the University of Essex. He is currently an assistant professor of sociology at DePaul University in Chicago. His work examines the social determinants of health, with ongoing research projects on the health effects of income inequality and the health transitions of immigrants. In recent years, he has studied the social patterning of chronic non-communicable diseases in Latin America and has worked in collaboration with colleagues in Argentina's Ministry of Health. He is the author of Health and Social Theory and is currently working on his second book, Global Health Inequities. Today, he will be speaking on changes in the social gradient in tobacco use in Argentina, evidence from the 2005 and 2009 National Risk Factor Surveys.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks very much for the organizers for including my paper in the panel. So this is a work that I'm doing in collaboration with some colleagues in Argentina's Ministry of Health, and in this particular analysis, Bruno Linetsky and Daniel Ferrante have also taken a very important role. My funding for this project came from SHRC, from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada, but otherwise no relationships to disclose. So this is the Ministry of Health in downtown Buenos Aires. It's not always such a patriotic building, but it was this past year. And through my work, I've been able to visit the ministry for about 5 weeks every summer to work collaboratively on some analyses. Underneath the flag there, you have a 30-foot portrait of Evita Perón. This was the building that she used to work at. And I worked on the ninth floor, so not quite sitting on Evita's shoulders, but thereabouts. The building's also in the middle of an 18-lane boulevard, so you can imagine the health hazards one comes across just getting to work in the morning. It's a really exciting time to be engaging with the folks in the Ministry of Health. Really, for the very first time, we have high-quality, nationally representative data in Argentina from which to study health inequalities. So this is a flowchart of the couple things that have been done in the past 5 years and the really important things that are planned for the next 5 to 10 years. My apologies, it's in Spanish, but I'll walk you through it. So the two data sets that I'm working on are in red, 2005 and 2009, the ENFR, Encuesta Nacional de Factores de Riesgo, or National Risk Factor Surveys. All self-report data, so following Pan American Health Organization guidelines on the stepwise approach to collecting data on chronic diseases. There's step one, that's just self-reported. Step two contains some physical measures of height and weight during the interview process. And step three has some blood work to test for cholesterol, blood sugar, and so on. So until now, just in 2005, 2009, we have the self-reported data, which are easier to collect. In 2011, they ran a subsample study of the ENFR to pilot test step two and step three, and that's going to come in line in 2014 and 2020. So we'll have really excellent data in those years. In 2010 and now beginning in 2011 as well, we've kind of borrowed a system that the Brazilians have implemented over the past 5 or 10 years of a telephone-based surveillance system that's collecting data on a continual basis. There's also school-based surveys, the Global Youth Tobacco Survey and the Global Adult Tobacco Survey. So really a wealth of data is coming on stream in the country, and I'm trying to take advantage of that. Our work essentially engages with the old idea of epidemiological transition. Right? The primary focus of the work is on chronic diseases, which of course are the major drivers of mortality around the world, except for in sub-Saharan Africa. The theory, of course, has been around for a while, and it has been heavily criticized for being blind to inequality, to being blind to social gradients. Right? It's primarily a story of aggregate changes in mortality indicators. So we're trying to revisit that theory by refocusing it to include analysis of the dynamics of health inequalities. Right, so how social gradients are changing over time. Some of our work engages with Wilkinson's income inequality model. So for one of the first times, extending that old idea that income inequality itself is pathogenic over and above our own individual income, and looking at it in a very unequal context like Argentina. But the stuff that I'll talk about today relate to the last bullet point, short-term changes in social gradients. So this is relying on the 2005 and 2009 data. We have some work on physical inactivity, obesity, and diabetes. As you might expect, all three of these things are going up in the country, and not only is the overall prevalence going up, but the gradients are actually tilting against the poor. Diabetes may be the one exception where we think that an increasing rate of self-reported diabetes is actually a good thing in this country, and that more undiagnosed diabetes is actually being detected by the healthcare system. Preventive cancer screenings, pap tests, and mammograms, there has also been significant changes over a relatively short period of time of 4 years, with the prevalence or service uptake of both increasing. Pap tests, the inequalities are increasing. Mammograms, inequalities are decreasing. And that presents an interesting puzzle for the Ministry of Health to try to disentangle why these things are happening. And the analysis that I'll focus on today is on tobacco consumption, which is one of Argentina's major issues. Right, so in terms of background, the idea is that we can see something like tobacco consumption, not just as an individual level characteristic, but as something that's socially patterned and something that can be changed through government policy. As you may know, Latin American cities have a particularly high rate of smoking prevalence, between 10 to 44% for women and 30 to 50% for men in this early time period of 2003 to 2005. In the past 10, 20 years, there's some evidence that smoking is decreasing in many Latin American countries, including in Argentina, perhaps from a historical high in 2001 of 40% current smokers to roughly 30 in 2005 and about 27 now in 2009. So there's been a steadily improvement over the past 10 years or so. At the same time, there's very strong political opposition in the country to ratifying the FCTC, and the country is a major exporter of tobacco. So we've really lagged behind in effective national policies. Only in 2006 did clean indoor air legislation pass in the city of Buenos Aires and also in several provinces. Something that I didn't think I'd ever see, but it's actually has been enacted in the country. But some laws are weak and enforcement is questionable. Just this past summer, in June 2011, Argentina actually passed many of the ideas embedded in the FCTC. So we've banned advertising and sponsorship, put new warning labels on cigarette packs, set new fines for the sale of cigarettes to minors, and for now they've also prohibited the sale of single cigarettes, which has been a way for many youth and poor youth to buy cigarettes in the country. However, the government shied away from any new tax-based control efforts, which perhaps would have been even more effective. In some ways, much of our work really takes its cue from Nancy Fleischer's great article, Nicotine and Tobacco Research, published just this past year. She writes, "Few studies have examined the socioeconomic patterning of smoking in developing countries. The limited information available suggests that those of higher socioeconomic position tend to have lower smoking prevalence among men, with more heterogeneity among women. But these patterns depend greatly on country-level development." Right, so the idea here is that social gradients are not static. They change over time. And that changing over time is perhaps reflective of public policy. Looking at our two surveys, both nationally representative and indeed provincially representative as well, 2005, current smoking, 29.7, and 2009, 27.1. But our big puzzle is what's happening underneath these figures. Has a decrease on a parallel basis for all income and education groups, or are there shifting gradients? Both surveys we think are really good, with large sample sizes and, again, nationally and provincially representative, good response rates. We define current smoking as currently smokes on all or some days and has smoked at least 100 cigarettes in their lifetime. And at the beginning of the analysis, we're just looking for very descriptive gradients by income and education, adjusting for age. And we're stratifying by sex and carrying out the analysis in Stata. We'll jump to the regression models here. So we have really three income groups, low, medium, and high. Following the Argentina's National Statistics Agency, we've divided into the bottom four deciles, the next four deciles, and the upper 20%. Education, again, low, medium, and high, is less than primary school, some high school and high school and above. And what we see here is actually contradictory patterns. On the top, you have the gradients for males, and at the bottom, you have the gradients for females. Odds ratios in 2005 and 2009 And the p-value here is for an interaction effect between year and the indicator of socioeconomic status. In 2005, for males, we have the strong social patterning, right? So odds ratios greater than 1 going along the income gradient. We see a slight diminishing of those gradients by 2009 using income for males. Notice that with education, though, here's my cursor. We didn't quite have a gradient in 2005, but we still have an inequality. And that inequality actually has some statistically marginal increase, and a gradient emerges by education. So the first model just has income, controls for age and age squared, and education is actually perhaps pointing a different picture. For women, it was slightly different. So in 2005, there was no gradient. And by 2009, we have perhaps some indication that the gradient is actually leaning towards pro-poor direction. But again, contradictory evidence with the education model. A non-significant gradient in 2005 and an emergence of an inequality by 2009, particularly for women with medium education. We then use both of these together, of course, in the joint model of income and education, mutually adjusted. And here I think the picture becomes clear. Looking at the income gradients for men, we have what we had seen in the preliminary model of a gradient in 2005 that actually really loses much of its power by 2009. From the Ministry of Health point of view and for research point of view, this is good news. This is what we wanted to see. We want to see a diminishing of the social gradient. By education, however, we have this increase of gradient. So the preliminary results in this more advanced model seem to be supported. And for women, again, a very similar picture, with the difference being that the 2005 baseline was quite different. So a non-significant gradient by income becomes pro-poor by 2009 with statistically significant interaction effects. And by education, the gradient that didn't exist before now exists against the poor. So we're getting contradictory kind of directions in the analyses. So our preliminary interpretation, and these are very early models still, so we have an overall reduction in current tobacco use, which is probably the most important finding. But underneath that, social gradients underlying these aggregate figures show some signs of short-term changes. Income gradients appear to flatten out for males and some indication that they become pro-poor for women, just looking at income. But education gradients appear to contradict this. Looking at the descriptive data and looking at the predicted probabilities from the model, we think we know why. And we think that there has been a particularly sharp decrease in smoking among groups with high education, but not necessarily high income. Right? So that's what's biasing the ORs for the education gradients. So for us, there are two key issues at play. That income and education gradients, although they're both operational definitions of socioeconomic status, need not be synonymous. And they can actually flow in contradictory ways. And odds ratios as a relative measure of inequality don't always tell the whole picture, right? We need to examine the underlying descriptive gradients and also the predicted probabilities from the models. In terms of our next steps, we're guided again by Fleischer's idea that socioeconomic disparities in smoking behavior are predictive of future disparities in chronic diseases, particularly in a country like Argentina with high levels of smoking among youth in particular. So far, our focus has been to describe possible changes, but we're not really explaining them, and that's what we'll try to do in the next wave of analysis. There's considerable provincial heterogeneity, both in overall prevalence of smoking and also in the design and implementation of anti-tobacco laws. So we think there are lots of natural experiments hiding within the country that have kind of manifested over the past 5 or 10 years, and we want to try to capture those with these surveys. The big idea here is to develop a multi-level analysis, right, with individuals nested within communities, nested within provinces. At the same time, we need to consider finer income and education categorizations, and that may help to explain these slight wobbles that we see in the two stories. And eventually, we need to look for interaction as well between contextual factors, so the kind of legislation that province has enacted, and compositional factors like sex and age and income. throughout these analyses, both the income stuff and the physical activity, diabetes and obesity, and even the cancer screening models that we're running, we're guided by this idea that we've borrowed from the UNDP. So this is a way of ending on a conceptual note. So this is what we call the average deprivation and inequality framework. Basically, with cross-sectional data or longitudinal data, you can do different things. Mostly, people have looked at the average perspective. So we report the average change in national prevalence of tobacco or national BMI. And we're interested if that average changes over time. From the deprivation perspective, which we think has particular value for evaluating and critiquing public policy, we're interested in the very worst off. So who shows the highest level of risk factors, in this case of tobacco use. Over time, how does the situation of that particular group changed over time? That will be a way of evaluating Argentina's new anti-tobacco laws. The inequality perspective looks at the gap between the worst off and the best off. So as the average changes, what's actually happening to the difference as well between the worst off and the best off for any given variable that we're analyzing. Okay. And lastly, I'll finish with some humble recommendations for further readings and also some great work that colleagues have done. All of these papers use the National Risk Factor Survey, and I think in interesting ways. So that's it.